In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will.
Works all things according to a counsel of his, accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will. The word is energeo, from which we get the word energize, and that's just very clear what it's saying there. This is just kind of an amazing thing. Now, because a botanist can explain to us why the grass grows, and a meteorologist can tell us, you know, how come rain happens to come, that doesn't mean that Scripture still doesn't mean that God didn't cause it to rain or the grass to grow. Just because people can explain the process whereby God decided that the grass would grow doesn't mean that he didn't make it grow. And this shows us that it's incorrect for us to reason that if we know the natural cause of something, then God didn't cause it. Nor is it correct to think that events are partly caused by God and partly caused by factors he created in the world. So the doctrine of concurrence is that 100% things come from God and 100% things come from people involved. Okay? Any questions about that? This is heavy stuff.
Amen.
I concur.
Pardon?
He said, I concur.
Oh, okay. Galatians 1:6. Yes, Jonathan, a question or comment?
On the concept of biology, what they're doing is they've discovered how it works.
Can you hear back there, Jerry? Nice big voice, Jonathan.
On the concept of biology, what they've done is they've discovered how it works, not why it works that way.
So. Doctors know a great deal about why a baby's born, how it's born, all that stuff, but they haven't got it figured out yet. You know, they're making good progress discovering what God did a long time ago, incorporating into the masculine body and the feminine body, but there's mystery there.
Amen.
Okay, anything else? Galatians 1:15, please, excuse me. Galatians 1:15 says something about this whole thing. What does it say? Okay, we got a sword drill here. Galatians 1:15, somebody, please.
But when he who had set me apart before I was born...
There you go. When he has set me apart before I was born. So Paul, thank you. Set me apart before I was born.
Amen.
Now, there's Paul saying, he set me apart before I was born to be what he was, the Apostle Paul. I look back on my life as an unsaved person, and I can see that God was doing things in my life, preparing me for what I would be. I started school, and my mother wanted, I look back, my mother really was eager to start teaching, so she pushed me into school when I was about 4. And I was all, my mental development was always a little bit behind. But I learned through that challenge that I accepted very early that I would have to work harder than most people. I mean, it just that was life. That's just the way it was. In seminary, if my roommate spent an hour in Hebrew, it took me an hour and a half, you know? It's just the way, and I accepted that. And so God was building things in my life before I was before I was saved. Okay. How about Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5? Anybody got that one? Jeremiah 1:5. Tom's on his way. Who's got the fastest thumb?
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you.
There you
I
go.
I appointed you a prophet to the nations.
Okay. Same thing as the Apostle Paul. Before he was born, Jeremiah is saying, God was directing me, and there I am. How about Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24?
Man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way?
One more time, please. Nice big voice. So Stephen can hear way back in the corner.
A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way?
This is a verse that's been really comforting to me. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How can anyone understand his own way?
Amen.
That means there's going to be some mysteries in life. Things that do not compute. Why did he get promoted and I got fired?
Right.
You know? Why did I move there where the house that got flooded instead of moving over there like I wanted to in the first place, you know? There's just mysteries. And that verse has been a very encouraging verse. How about 16:9? Proverbs 16:9. Anybody got that one?
The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps.
The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Pretty clear, huh?
Oh, yeah.
How about 1 Corinthians 4:7? Here's a great verse that talks about God gifting people the way he wants them. You know, God has placed each one of us in the body as he has chosen, not as we have chosen. Your gifting may not be the gifting you want, but it's what he has chosen. And the way he's constructed you. And what does 1 Corinthians 4:7 say? What have you got that you didn't
get from God? Why are you boasting about it?
Okay.
It says, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?
Okay. What have you got? Brains, beauty, bucks, freedom, insight, eyesight, good kids, a job that's good. What have you got that wasn't handed to you? I know you worked hard. Yeah, you did. But you still wouldn't have that job. You wouldn't have that whatever if God had not planted.
Amen.
And so there's no basis, you see, for pride in what we are or what we have, right?
That's right.
There's no basis for feeling defeated. No basis for feeling inferior, right? Is that a legitimate application of that verse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. We just incurred all the inferiority complexes just like that. We just cured them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Hey, we're making progress here today. God is at work in my life, in the minds and hearts of both to will and do his good pleasure. That's Philippians 2:13. Could somebody read that verse for us? Philippians 2:13.
For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Thank you. Now, what about... what about if God is sovereign, and this we've talked about this, if God is sovereign, if God causes everything, what's the relationship between God and evil? How do we not lay evil at God's doorstep if he is sovereign and controls everything? Yes?
I think it's simply that his word says he's not the author of evil. I mean, there are some things we take by faith, even though we can in our minds work it out all the time, but it's very clear that God is not the author of evil.
Amen.
And I think Edwards tried to deal with some of that, but sometimes I think he confuses the issue. But again, some things have to be taken by faith. And for me, just quickly, when I get confused about things, I have to go to the gospel and see what Christ has done, what God has done for me in Christ. And that gives me the ability, I'll take this by faith when I see what God did for me in Christ on the cross. So while I'm working out understanding these things, if I get discouraged or confused, I just go to the gospel and rest in that and know someday, if not here in glory, I'll understand everything, but we want us to understand everything here.
That's good counsel there, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Anybody else? How you doing with this whole thing about is God responsible for evil? If he's sovereign, how can he not be responsible for evil? I mean, is he the boss?
Oh, yeah.
Or not? Well, what do you do with that? You've struggled with it. You've thought about this, right?
Yeah. Well, as you said, we're not automatons. He is in control. Nothing happens that's not a part of his plan. He does not, he doesn't program us like a robot,
right,
to just do what the program says. He does allow us to have free grace. He does allow us to rebel. He allows us to take things, and then at some points our hearts are hardened, but those are steps that we've chosen on our own. We've chosen to neglect his word, we've chosen to rebel, we've chosen to do those things. And so as we walk down that path, it's not an easy path to think about for many people or for people that you love. But we're all responsible for ourselves before God. And we can only be faithful for ourselves. We cannot take responsibility for other people. We can only be faithful. We can only take responsibility for ourselves. So I choose Christ. I can pray for people. I can speak to people. I cannot choose Christ for them.
You cannot will for your children, for example, can you?
Amen.
You'd love the will for your kids, wouldn't you?
Uh-huh.
But God has not made you responsible for your kids. You're responsible to have a positive influence, but you cannot make them obey God. You cannot make them love God. Jonathan.
Isn't it partially a case for the problem of evil that God wills that we have free will?
Okay, does God will that we have free will? How many believe in free will? Okay. How many believe we're automatons?
I want to qualify that.
Okay, you want to qualify it?
Yeah.
You're fudging on me, David.
I believe we have free will to act according to our nature. If we're lost sinners, we have free will to rebel the way we rebel as lost sinners. If we are born again, we now have the ability not to sin. But when you're lost, you're free to sin. Because that's what you are. You're a sinner. But I don't have the ability to choose God in terms of on my own without a prior regenerating work of the Spirit of God doing His work in me. Then I choose God. So that's where that issue of free will, as I understand it, comes out.
Yes, Kathy?
Well,
thank you, David.
Paul says in Romans 11:32, for God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. He has bound us over to disobedience. I mean, he had planned that evil would take over so that his mercy would prevail.
Exactly.
So we can't wrestle with that, and neither can we explain it.
We can't wrestle
God
with it.
Marry his love with allowance of evil so that his mercy can be revealed to us. If there wasn't evil, his mercy would never be needed. But he wanted us to understand the character of mercy, so he allowed evil.
He ordained it.
He did.
Yeah.
Very.
There's a difference between I'm not rebuking you. I'm just saying. He ordained that this would take place for his glory.
There is mystery here, folks.
Right.
Don't go to seat in the scene. Don't shift into spiritual neutral and go on strike. As I say, Spurgeon said, he would walk through a door and said, whosoever will. He walks through the door, he gets on the other side and looks back and it says, elect from the foundation of the earth.
Right.
There is mystery here.
Amen.
Yes, God does evil. He does evil, but he brings about evil through the willing actions of moral creatures. Number two, Scripture never blames God for evil, nor does it show God taking pleasure in evil,
right.
And Scripture never excuses people from the evil that they have initiated. And this is a mystery to me. I've struggled with this one. You know, how can God not be responsible for evil if He's sovereign? Well, there's other Scripture over here that says He is not blamed. There's never an excuse. He doesn't take pleasure in evil. Scripture never blames God for evil, and He does these things. He accomplishes through the willing actions of people. Are we free? Well, we're not absolutely free because the Holy Spirit maintains my ability to finish this sentence. So I'm never totally free from the control and the sustaining influence. And I mean, he holds all things together, including the fact that you're looking at me with your head tipped this way or that way or nodding or whatever you're thinking right now, see? He maintains your ability to continue functioning, see? So it's totally theoretical to ask if we are totally free moral agents. No, because there's sin and because He's keeping me alive. He's keeping me breathing, you see? That's an influence. But He, according to Scripture, gives us the freedom to make choices. And hopefully, as we make the choices and put our head on the pillow at night, we say, Lord, You planned from eternity past that I would enjoy You today, that I would read my Bible today, that I would share the gospel today, that I would live a life of integrity today. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the fact that You are the awesome God that we'll never totally figure out. If we could totally figure out You out, then we don't need You.
Amen.
But Lord, we can't, and we we just submit ourselves to you, knowing that you are the awesome God of everything. Help us this hour to sing to you, this coming hour. Bless as we worship you, Father. You are the only person in the audience, and we're all on the platform, and you're looking into our hearts. We ask your grace upon the singing, upon our collective mood as a congregation, upon the preaching, Father, here and in countless, tens of thousands of places across the earth today. Congregations gathering to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. We do ask for these requests that have come today, Father. There's many needs. Meet each one, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.